AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. Well, wait a minute here. What time is it? Oh, that's right. You apparently woke me from my slumber. Eric poked me awake today to get me in here at 2 o'clock to fill in for Brad? Brick? Braid? That's it. Yeah, I'm filling in for Braid today. That's a filling in for Brett. So you get 2 hours. I mean, just when you said to yourself, holy God, how does this guy get 1 hour? I got a surprise for you. It's 2 hours of pure fun and mayhem today. Glad to have you with us. 952-946-6205. Because of that, I got two Democrats of the day. That's right. Coming up in a little bit later on, Justin Stofferon is Senate District 38. He's challenging there. And Addie Miller is Senate District 47. These are both metro area Senate seats that are currently held by Republicans, which we could pick up. So we'll talk to them. Justin coming up in this 2 o'clock hour, 3 o'clock hour. We'll talk to Addie as well. So interesting day today. I had well, first of all, I froze my caboose off. Ugh. That was a little chilly this morning.
Yeah, it's freezing out.
It's one of those mornings where if you forget to cover something, like I take the dog out and I forget to cover something and I come back inside and for like 20 minutes afterwards, it's just stinging. Ugh. Got up this morning. My kids had conferences at school. And, of course, we headed on over there just to, you know, yeah, the House of Horrors. That's my kids' parent-teacher conference days. I mean,
getting read the rap sheet.
Oh, God, you just imagine what my children are like. Yes, just, well, Mr. McNeil, they seem smart enough, but there are some behavioral problems. Really? That's how I'll say it, too. Really? Just sarcastic. It does not help. That is not, that's gasoline on the fire right there.
I wonder where they get it.
I have no idea. You say they're misbehaving. Really? Actually, I got into a very interesting discussion. And, okay, you guys, you know, everyone knows I love history. I love history. And I got two history points for you to start off the show with, okay? The first was this one story. We were talking about how the Civil War is taught nowadays. And that and it really is amazing because when I was a kid, we were taught the Civil War was really just this, now, agree to disagree, one of those things about slavery. You know, it was. It was very white-centric, like they were brother and brother facing the line. No, they were racist jackass in the South who were uprising against the United States and then the United States. I mean, that's really the two sides here. But back then, it was, you know, Patrick Swayze wearing gray and, you know, we're going to fight those Yankees. And, you know, and slavery, well, it was mentioned, but it was mentioned in the way that it was, hey, black people, aren't you glad we stopped that? That was really kind of the ignorant tone of it. And we were talking about how it's taught today. And eventually, you know, and when my son, who is getting ready to graduate high school, they started in on the history classes. Even then, it wasn't where it is today. Back then, it was much more acknowledging. No, this was an insurgency. This was a revolt against the government, anti-American forces in the South who wanted to keep slavery. There it had changed, but now, and I really do like how they're doing this. Is they kind of are separating the two things out. Okay, there's a war, all right, and a bunch of jackasses from the South, and this is, you know, of course, they don't teach that. You know, it's not there's like, on the one side, the United States, the other side, jackasses. You know, they don't have like a map. You know, General Jackass of Jackson from, well, really, I mean, I can go down that road. But they'll teach the war just because, I mean, obviously, it's a fascinating war. I mean, my God, McClellan screwed up so bad on the Peninsula campaign that they literally had to come at the South from the West. I mean, that's how bad things went for McClellan. Just truly horrible. So if you're studying it just in the history of a military battle, there's that element of it. But they've really brought out the idea of talking about it now in these schools about slavery existing, of course, Civil War happens, the end of slavery, then you go through the Jim Crow period, and then, you know, the you know, the kind of the continued racism of the South. And I like how much more that's played out, because you can't just end the rest slavery, for God's sakes. You can't just do that. You have to have that in there. And so this is why, do you know why I love teachers? You know why, teachers, you are, I love you. I love you. It's because you don't just rest on your laurels. You're not some crap-ass state's worth of schools like Texas or Arkansas or something like that. You will hear continually saying, how can we make education better? And there is value in looking at these kids and saying, you need to understand slavery. First of all, let's understand slavery before we get to Gettysburg and Vicksburg and all those battles. Let's understand what human bondage was. Let's understand what the atrocious nature of what white Southerners were doing to African Americans really was. I love that. And I think that you see, is you cannot solve these problems. I mean, the question I have is this, I wonder to a point, is this a reflection of the fact that up for about the first 10 years of this century, you had Republicans making the argument, well, African Americans were better off under slavery, which is like the stupidest damn thing you've ever heard in your life. And it almost makes me wonder, did we change education? It's like, no.
Well, I kind of remember this transition occurring even when I was in school. I graduated in 07.
Okay.
Because I remember when it first started, it was like, yeah, 100%. The conversation was, this is just a disagreement between countrymen.
Yeah.
But then by the end, you're more getting into, like, you know, the cruelty of slavery and all the systems that it caused and how it was caused.
Yeah, slavery was – I'm trying to remember back to the good old days at Edina. Sorry. Sorry, Edina doesn't deserve that. I'm trying to think back to the good old days of Edina. But with the what I remember was it was just more of like just – you know, there's these guys agreed with this and this. Yeah. And by the way, we're not going to talk too much about what they disagreed about. Let's just say it was not pleasant.
The slavery was just coincidental.
It was just there was an issue. I actually remember in Georgia, I had a junior high class in Georgia. I lived in Buford, Georgia, which once again, in Buford, Georgia, the most intelligent thing is the name Buford, which because it does it's not a, you know.
That's where all the geniuses come from.
Seriously. Hey, Billy Bob, you can't put that boiled peanut up your nose. You know, that sort of thing. You know, just the, oh, delightful. Anywho, the family tree is more of a wreath down there. Never mind. Down there, that's all they talked about. It was states' rights. Nothing else. It was states' rights. Don't you look at another history book. Just listen to me, a white teacher in the South. It was states' rights. I'm glad we're fixing this problem. And you want to know the truth is, it makes a better educated populace, God forbid. Anyway, thank you, teachers. You do a great job. Here's the other piece of history. Were you here when Cheryl Youakim was Democrat of the Day? I think that was on Monday.
I wouldn't have been.
No, okay. You weren't hiding here somewhere?
Might have been in the closet or I don't know.
Hanging
sneaking around.
Yeah, you know, up in the roof tiles, whatever.
Crawling through the wires.
Yeah, nothing. Same old, same old. Anyway, so Cheryl Youakim was here. And I had mentioned, and this is just off the cuff, I had mentioned to her that there's, if you're on Excelsior Boulevard and you're going through Hopkins right now at 17th Street, the Hopkins Tech Center, which, you know, basically is about as tech as a Texas Instruments calculator from 1975, is being torn down because they are literally reopening up all those roads to the south, cutting through to where they're going to build a new Southwest Light Rail line as it cuts down south from there. That's going to be the Shady Oak Station up in there. And I mentioned to her that was at one point the headquarters of Minneapolis Moline. And Representative Youakim, who I adore, she's delightful, she had said, oh, no, Minneapolis Moline was never down there. Really? Really? History nerd boy here, you're going to challenge history nerd boy? Okie dokie. I tried to let it go, seriously, because I know that this is just, you know, some fidgeting Matt sitting down. It's like, I know it was. Just let it go, Matt. Just let it go. Watch Dracula. It's on Netflix. It's delightful. No. Finally sent her a picture. If you look in the history books. So the history of that building is, which is not there anymore, it is actually one of the last Minneapolis Moline buildings. And if you don't know Minneapolis Moline was the John Deere tractors of really the turn of the century there. These yellow tractors. There's a apartment complex in Hopkins called Minneapolis Moline. They actually have some of the tractors on display there. You can see these great tractors that came out. The headquarters was in Hopkins. The old manufacturing plant used to be down on Lake in Hiawatha, which is now a Target and Cub Foods over there. It'd be the northeast corner of that intersection. That was their old manufacturing plant. They used to build them, put them on trains, send them across the country. They were these bright yellow tractors, very popular. And as a matter of fact, one of their subsidies that combined to form Minneapolis Moline, Twin Cities, the Twins logo, the TC, is their logo. That's from like 1890.
Oh, really?
Is that that's where that logo comes from. The Minneapolis Moline, one of their subsidies, that logo, the TC. So, you know, there's an impact here in the area. And yeah, like a lot of things, eventually, especially, you know, at one point, Hopkins was its own little town out there, eventually got kind of gobbled up. But Minneapolis Moline eventually was bought by the, I believe it was the White Motor Company. Which the, let's see, I got it written down here somewhere. The White Motor Company, White Motors, they bought it. And this was, I believe, in 70 or 63, they bought it. I think they finally got everything, or excuse me, 71, they bought it. They bought it in 71. Now, the reason I am bringing this up is because not only was I correct about the fact that Minneapolis Moline was headquartered in that building at one time, and I just have to set that record straight.
And it's the most important reason.
It is the reason, all right? But no, not only am I setting this straight, but it brings up an amazing piece of history, which if you don't know, it gets completely lost. People sometimes wonder, how did Hopkins, okay, surrounded by Minnetonka, Eden Prairie, Edina, it's South St. Louis Park. How did it kind of have that, you know, an economic downturn that was really bad? Well, it comes down to the beginnings of the age of greed. So White Motor Company, they basically bought the company, laid off a bunch of people. And to give you an idea about what kind of company White Motor Company was, they purposely would close down manufacturing plants in cities that had unions, and they were opening up at the time in Virginia and in Utah, two states which had laws at that point where you couldn't form a union, which I believe got struck down by the Supreme Court sometime in the 70s, if I remember correctly. But at that point, they couldn't form a union. So they specifically were shutting down because they did not want to have to deal with unions. You know, their mentality was, you do what I tell you to do or I'm going to smack that mouth of yours. You know, that sort of thing. And so that's kind of the mentality. And so they bought Minneapolis Moline, and immediately with the intention of the pensions. There was a huge problem in the early 70s with pensions where basically these companies – and this is really even before the Republicans kind of got on board with this stuff. The companies themselves were starting to realize, well, we need to basically raid the pension fund. What are they going to do about it? And so you have all these people that work for Minneapolis Moline who were dependent on the pension fund. I mean, that was their income. That was their retirement fund. And, of course, when White Motor Company comes in and says, oh, yeah, we're going to buy the place. We're going to follow through with your pensions. They had no intention of it. As a matter of fact, they tried in 72. They tried and attempted to terminate in June 30th of 72 the pension plan benefiting employees at the Minneapolis plant and employees at another White Motor factory in Hopkins. The UAW challenged the action, contending that the pension plan could not be terminated until the contract was over, which was actually 74. But they still were having – they just wanted to end it. They wanted to take all the money they had in it and pocket it, which they eventually did. I mean, this is the beginnings of the age of greed. People that just looked at the pension plan, it's like those suckers that were stupid enough to think that the company was going to take care of them were suckers, and they shouldn't have never expected that, and they took the pension money, and eventually the pension money all just disappeared. I mean, it clearly went to executives and into the pockets of the wealthy people that were running the place. But at the same time, it was really the beginnings of where we're at, because even at that point, and I didn't see this. I'm going to try to see if I can try to find this. I think it was NBC News ran an hour-long special back in the early 70s, which was a pretty big deal, about the pain that these pension plans getting dismantled was causing. And it led to the U.S. government putting into place laws about pensions and that you could not just get rid of them. But you see, is the impact of that was something we saw every day here in Minneapolis. Hopkins had an economic downturn, a substantial economic downturn from the mid-70s up until about 1990. Because you basically took all the people that were working for this plant, many of them who lived in Hopkins, and said, you have no money left. And it started a massive cycle downwards for the community, which only until they kind of started pulling themselves out in that late 90s, where they started sparking new growth and new developments. They started bringing the Hopkins Center for the Arts and stuff like that. That's when it came out. I mean, things were so bad, they got rid of the state fair. The county fair used to be in Hopkins, and then they moved that out it's out way out west. I can't remember the name of the town it's in right now, but it's out in the western side off of Bass Lake Road. But it's we had an example of this in town here. The Age of Greed just laid out for you, perfect for you to see, that Hopkins, a city full of workers who used to work for Minneapolis Moline, were screwed over by the White Motor Company, who basically went in there, just took their pensions, shut it down, and left them broke. And the thing which was funny, and why this hits me kind of hard, is I went to school in Edina in the 80s, and everyone knew why this had happened to Hopkins. It was greedy SOBs who took the money from the workers and left the town in ruins. But it didn't stop the people of Edina, who used to, I was like, oh, those poor people in Hopkins, not because of their own freaking doing. And you know what? I was probably part of that back then. Part of this, you know, I remember going to the games and here comes the poor kids from Hopkins. And now you realize, well, yeah, because they were screwed over by corporate America. Just the latest example of it. Early on, before the Republicans realized, hey, if we basically preserve that system in place, we could get a lot of campaign donations. But I think the history we have to remember is that the beginnings of the Age of Greed began in the 1970s, when these companies just basically looked and said, the promises we've made to these employees do not matter anymore, and we're just going to pocket the money and say, the heck with you. And we kind of shrugged our shoulders. I mean, there was eventually some bills passed, but still, I mean, take a look at where we're at today. The cutting of jobs, the cutting of salaries, the closing of plants. That was the appetizer back then. And one plant, having one company come in, buy them, and dismantling the pension program, decimated a town for 15 years. I think it's time for us to stop Reaganomics. I think it's time for us to look at this situation and say, we've given you guys near 50 years to show us this is going to work. And you guys have made our lives miserable. Our debt is up. The quality of life is down. Wages are dramatically down. Benefits are hardly existent for most people any day. But you guys keep promising us, oh, we're going to trickle on down. It will trickle on down. It will never trickle on down. Never will. Thank God Hopkins came back. But folks, let's remember this. Most of the time when you see something like this, it's not because the worker class failed. It's because the executive class became greedy jackasses and their greed basically overrode being civil and decent human beings. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. History class over. When I do come on back, I want to talk about Jim Hagedorn. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates. So if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
Located just north of 50th in France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
At Better Futures Minnesota, our purpose is to fuel and guide our men's desire to turn their lives around and walk a new path toward better health and success. We are intent on changing the costly systems and practices that produce poor results and perpetuate the chaos and cycles of dependency experienced by men who have faced incarceration. We are building a movement that supports personal transformation and a healthy, vibrant community of men. Visit us at betterfuturesminnesota.com to learn how you can support our movement.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for 25 years. You'll not find someone who loves their job more than me. The process of painting your home could not be easier. Go to nickslavik.com, click on the button Paint My Walls or Paint My Cabinets. I'll personally be in contact with you to get an estimate, either in-home or a free virtual estimate. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. We're not like other contractors.
Nick's Bar at the Nicollet Island Inn is proud to announce a delicious addition. You can now combine their famous tenderloin burger and fries with the renowned Blanton's, the original single-barrel Kentucky Straight bourbon whiskey for only $25. But the Burgers and Blanton's experience is only for the month of February, so gather your friends and stop in at the historic, warm and comfortable Nick's Bar at the Nicollet Island Inn to enjoy Burgers and Blanton's for only $25 during February. More at NicoletIslandInn.com.
Brending Electrolysis on Grand Avenue in St. Paul has been a leader in permanent hair removal for people of all skin types and backgrounds for over 30 years, celebrating diversity and priding themselves on finding the right treatment plan for each client's individual needs, regardless of race or gender. Services include electrolysis, body waxing, facials, microneedling, and permanent makeup. Book your 60-minute complimentary consultation, including a 15-minute treatment today, for beautiful, lasting results. Visit BrendingElectrolysis.com.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. First of all, happy birthday to Richard, who's out there listening to us today, actually watching us on the live stream. Happy birthday, Richard. Also, Marla, get better soon. You got the flu. Yikes. You hope you heal up. Take care of yourself, all right? And, that's the benefit of us streaming the show. It's you can act like you're interacting with other human beings by watching this show. Yeah. You're welcome. 952-946-6205. Republican U.S. Representative Jim Hagedorn announced Wednesday he's being treated for stage 4 kidney cancer. The 57-year-old congressman, who represented Southern Minnesota's 1st District, said he received the diagnosis in February of 2019. He's been undergoing immunotherapy at Rochester's Mayo Clinic over the last year. The diagnosis will not affect his reelection campaign, he said. Okay. Hagedorn faces a reelection against Democrat Dan Freehan, who he nearly defeated by only 1,300 votes in 2018. The disease has not and will not deter me, Hagedorn said in a statement. Exactly 2 months after marrying my wife and just 6 weeks into my job as the 1st District Congressman, I was given unexpected and rather shocking news. Just like millions of other Americans, I was told by my doctor, you have cancer. After prayers and long talks with those closest to me, I was determined to fight it. All right. Now, first of all, I should just, if I may, take a quick moment here. Stage 4 cancer, the reason why is it stage 4? Stage 4 cancer generally means, and it's not entirely, but it generally means it's cancer that has appeared in a different part of the body from the original place. So say you have breast cancer and then all of a sudden you have cancer in your brain or cancer in your throat, that's considered stage 4 cancer. So whether or not – now, it's not entirely like that, but whether or not the kidney cancer was the initial cancer or is it a new materialization of cancer, usually when they say it's stage 4 cancer, it means it's a second infection of cancer within the body. I have not been kind to Jim Hagedorn. I'll be the first to admit it. I have criticized his politics, but I'm going to be consistent on one level, and that is we are human beings, and cancer is a horrific disease. It's good that Jim's got his congressional health care there. That should help him quite a bit. I mean, go to the Mayo Clinic and stuff like that. He should be, you know, get the top notch, you know, the best of the best as far as treatment goes. But Congressman Jim, all my best. I hope you do heal up. But I I don't know what you think you're trying to do with your legacy here, that is that you're going to stay trying to fly between Washington, D.C. and southern Minnesota constantly doing the and then campaigning on a U.S. congressional district, which is an insane amount of travel in southern Minnesota. And you've got stage four cancer. Now, if I had cancer, if I had a stage four cancer diagnosis, you would not see me on this radio station. I would go home and spend as much time as I could with my family and doing things I enjoy doing. And whereas, is it impossible that you might enjoy campaigning most of all? I guess it's not, but the reason I don't go and run for office because I know what that's like. I've been asked to run for office. I will not run for office because I see what campaigning is. It's a nightmare. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of nights away from home. It's a lot of nights on the road. That's – no. I couldn't do that. You can – I understand you say to yourself, well, I'm going to go on out there and I am going to convince people that Trump's trade – agenda for farmers is a great deal as their farms are getting foreclosed on. If that's what you want, fine. But sometimes I think politicians get so immersed in their job, they forget to see the real world. And if I just may, a suggestion, resign. Go get treated. Hopefully this gets better. Stage four is tough. Hopefully it gets better. I have a friend who just died, Jennifer Summers. She just died 2 weeks ago from cancer. It's tough. It's very hard. Take your time. Go. No one is going to be critical of you. No one will think less of you. And if anyone's like, oh, well, you want him to resign because then we'll put a Republican in the seat. Governor Walz, put a Republican in the seat. Consider it a parting gift. That we hope that you feel better, hope that you heal, hope that you have time. But my God, you've got stage four cancer, and the first thing out of your mouth is, I'm going to continue to campaign. I hope you survive. I really do. I truly do. But make sure that your days are worth it, okay? Make sure your days are worth it. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. When we do return, Senate District 38, the DFL challenger is Justin Stouffer on. We'll talk to him about his campaign. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Better Futures Minnesota is a social enterprise which helps men achieve self-sufficiency and a better future for themselves and their communities. We need your help. By donating time or funds to our cause, you can support us and promote a healthier environment. By hiring our deconstruction crews for your next residential or commercial project and shopping or donating building materials or appliances to our reuse retail warehouse, you are supporting Better Futures Minnesota and your community. Please visit betterfuturesminnesota.com to learn more.
Come experience Nightingale at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis for mulled wine and delicious signature dishes from Chef Carrie and her team. Nightingale is perfect for special occasions with extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selections, along with their dedication to great service. Open every day till 2 a.m. with a full menu served until 1 a.m. and two award-winning happy hours daily. Plus, there's a weekend brunch at 10 a.m. Find more at nightingalempls.com.
You're listening to AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the most informative source for progressive politics and news in the Twin Cities. Get involved online at am950radio.com, where you can sign up for our weekly newsletter, check out the local businesses that help make this content available, and stay up to date on the latest news and upcoming events. You can always reach us by email at comment@am950radio.com. That's comment@am950radio.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, don't embarrass me by making me say this.
What does a used iPhone go for today?
Fine. My dad is the greatest fantasy football player of all time, Matt McNeil.
I won our league this year.
Ugh. When I'm getting together with my friends without my dad, we always go in my Sienna. Not only does it drive great in winter conditions, but it can easily fit all my friends with seating up to 8.
My son's friend's parents request he drive because he has a Sienna. It tells you everything you need to know about their safety and reliability. See for yourself at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Join us for New Beginnings, Saturday mornings at 11, brought to you in part by Vision Loss Resources.
Considering replacing your vacuum? What do you do with the old one? Throw it in the garage? Worse yet, throw it in the garbage? How about trade it in and save? A1 Vacuum in Roseville has been around forever, and they take trade-ins. When you trade in your old vacuum, you save. So if it's time to replace that old clunker headed for the garage or landfill, bring it in to A1 Vacuum in Roseville. You can find A1 Vacuum at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high near 14, with wind chill values as low as negative 19. Tonight, a low around 9. Friday, sunny with a high near 36 and the low of 20. Saturday, sunny with a high of 38 and the low of 23. Sunday will be sunny with temperatures in the 30s.
EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Victor's 1959 Cafe, a unique local restaurant offering one-of-a-kind food and atmosphere, focusing on traditional Cuban recipes in a relaxed, casual, and festive Cuban environment. Check them out at 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Once again, the Matt McNeil Show. Actually, early today, filling in for Brett today. We are here with you till 4 o'clock this afternoon, 952-946-6205. Our first Democrat of the day is the DFLer running in the Minnesota Senate District 38. This is a Republican seat. This is a potential pickup, and it is within the metro area. This is something we couldn't pick up. Kind enough to join us is Justin Stoferon. He is running for Senate District 38. Justin, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Matt.
My pleasure having you on the air. Once again, 38, this is kind of north of St. Paul. It's Lionel Lakes, Circle Pines, White Bear Lake is up there. Part of Blaine, I think, is in that district. Am I correct on that?
Yep, part of Blaine, Hugo, Centerville, Delwood, White Bear Township, and North Oaks. And I think we've covered it. So, yep, up there in the Northeast Metro.
Nice. You can say it from memory. Nicely done. Let's first of all find out a little bit more about you. Who exactly is Justin Stoferon?
Absolutely. Well, I'm a husband, a father, a policy nerd, and as you mentioned, running in 38. I live in White Bear with my wife, Marissa, and our two young children, Freddie and Verity. And I've spent my career working on tax, economic development, and small business issues at the state capitol for advocacy organizations and state agencies. And so I feel like I have the experience needed to hit the ground running and be a strong advocate for my friends and neighbors in 38 in the Minnesota State Senate.
What prompted you, what made you make that turn and say, you know what, I think enough's enough here, I'm going to go run for this Senate seat?
Absolutely. Well, you know, I'm here talking with you, having had a really being blessed to have a great career and build a middle-class life with for my family, and in large part because of the educational opportunities I've had, in particular the chance to go to college, which was not a foregone conclusion. I grew up with my mom, who worked a low-paying call center job. We were four to a two-bedroom apartment, and no one on her side of the family had ever gone to college, so it wasn't a hot topic of conversation when I was growing up. But I got the chance to go because of Pell Grants and state assistance, or put another way, I got to go to college because policymakers made the decision to invest in the potential of kids like me from families like mine. And that's not only a value sort of at the heart of why I'm running, I think it's a value at the heart of what's made Minnesota so exceptional. You know, we're despite the very real challenges we face, we're leaders in income and Fortune 500 companies and workforce and voting and quality of life, not because we've slash taxes for rich people and demonize public investments, but because we've doubled down on investing in our greatest asset, and that's Minnesotans. And I see, you know, both that sort of slipping away. I don't think that's a value a lot of Senate Republicans or a viewpoint that a lot of Senate Republicans share. And I think, you know, we can't just rest on the laurels of the Minnesota Miracle 50 years ago. We need to both recommit to what that was about, but also think about what's the new Minnesota Miracle for today's challenges and opportunities.
When you look at your district, basically the Forest Lakes split heading down southward, heading towards the east, a little bit towards White Bear. One of the things that you talk about investing in your community, you are in a district which is growing. It is picking up population. It's picking up growth. You want the right kind of growth to happen. And you're right. I think you nailed it. Republicans are kind of the mindset of shrug your shoulders and hope for the best. The reality is you have the opportunity to drive. We talked to Susan Kent, senator down the new majority, minority leader down in the Senate for the DFL. We talked to her about Woodbury. You look at how they've done in Woodbury. They've done such a good job at developing that community and being on the forefront. That's not just hoping it happens. It's, as you said, you have a district that needs to have not everything done for you, but, you know, hey, let's help you with roads. Let's help you with, you know, mass transit. Let's help you with, you know, affordable housing. Let's get the worker class in here. Let's maybe get some tax incentive breaks to get small businesses to move up here. Get the jobs there. You have the ability to do that now, and you're right. I don't think Chamberlain and any of the Republicans are doing anything like that right now in the state.
No, well, and, you know, you talk about the it being a growing district, and one of the things that drives the vibrancy throughout the communities in the district are the schools, the wonderful schools that we have, whether it's the White Bear School District or the Centennial School District, sort of in the northern part of the district. And, you know, state funding since 2003 to those two school districts, when you account for the, you know, rising, when you account for inflation, has declined about on a per student basis, about 13.5% in White Bear and about 4% in Centennial. And so it's no surprise that those school districts have had to go to voters for levy referendums or levy extensions. And fortunately, the communities in 38 have overwhelmingly approved those. But I think it also speaks to that it's about time that the state live up to its commitment to funding our schools. And you look at the education budgets that Senate Republicans have put out these last 4 years, they do very little to keep pace with rising costs and keep our great schools exactly that, great schools.
Well, and as you talk, and we're talking about the growth there, I mean, it's a tough location because you can have 5 years a school district go from, you know, four elementary schools, one junior high, one high school. And in 5 years, the way growth happens in this metro, you can have two more elementary schools and another junior high and possibly be talking about splitting the school district because they're getting too many people. This idea of I am one of these people that regardless of where you're at, inner city, rural districts, or even in these growing suburbs, the way we've done things is just not well, because how many times do you want to go back hat in hand to the school district and ask for a referendum or a levy? I think the state needs strong leadership there to basically say, let's fix this funding issue once and for all so that we're not, you know, we're not berating taxpayers of, you know, property owners to constantly have to keep raising and raising and raising, especially in a district like yours, which is growing.
Absolutely. No, yeah. Couldn't agree more.
When you talk about growth here, and I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up transportation too. Obviously, you've got like I said, you pretty much right up to the Forest Lake split. So you got parts of 35W, 35E, a good stretch of 35E there, 61 coming on down there. You want to develop this right, and I think that once we go back, going back to what you said earlier, Republicans just kind of shrug their shoulders and, yeah, well, if it gets developed, it gets developed. You can look at, you know, whether or not you're bringing in business there and meaning you're going to need to get workers up there, or if you're looking at people that are commuting into St. Paul, possibly Minneapolis, for their job, you need to look at the transportation and mass transportation and develop that in a proper manner to go along with the growth.
Well, definitely. And I, you know, another point to that is we have an aging population in our district, and obviously an aging population all across the state. And so if we're going to you know, the people, oftentimes folks in this district want to, you know, they want to age in place. They love these communities, and that gets a lot harder if, home health aides and personal care attendants don't have the means, that may live in St. Paul or Minneapolis, don't have the means to get into these communities and help care for people. Or it's hard for them to, you know, live within this community if there's not things like, more affordable housing. And I also, sort of back to some of the education pieces, wrapped up into that is the need for, career and technical ed. There's a couple of different manufacturers in the White Bear area that I've met with. I'm a member of the White Bear Township Economic Development Board, and I've met with some of the manufacturers, and they're, sending headhunters out across the country for welders. It's all an ecosystem that you have to invest in and help build.
And you talk about that. Here's where we can bring it all back around again, too. When you talk about welders or pipe fitters or any of the skilled trades, you talk about college and the opportunities you had. We need to make sure those are available. We also need to make sure people understand you can make a lot of money right now. Yeah. If you can become a carpenter, plumber, welder, you can get into these skilled trades. And making the incentives we need to get these kids into those, out of the schools and into those trade programs, apprenticeship programs, working with the union so that they can get these kids trained in. You're right. I mean, and those are great jobs, $50,000-$60,000 a year and as much work as you want. I mean, it is really an untapped resource, which we have to start looking at, is that post-high school education can mean a lot of different things.
No, the laborers have a training center in Lino Lakes that I've visited and met with their apprenticeship coordinator. And, about 5 minutes into our discussion, I'm looking at this document with all the wage rates of different positions. I told the guy, I said, you have me questioning every career decision I've made up until this point. Of course, when I told my wife this later in the day, she was quick and correctly reminded me, Justin, you couldn't do that work, which is true. I'm more a spreadsheets kind of guy. So she's right on that front. But no, I mean, this is the White Bear School District has a wonderful career pathways program that I've learned about that is doing great work, not only in skilled trades, but in nursing and the healthcare field and the automotive field, getting kids real world experiences and helping. It's something, my college worked real well for me. It didn't work as well for my younger brother, despite having sort of this college or bust message given to both of us. And my brother, I think, would have done great with a career pathways program existed to help. He's always been real good with his hands and that kind of thing. So it's we need to make sure it's not about picking one over the other. It's about making sure that all of those opportunities are both presented to students and available to students.
Justin, we're at the point here where I'm going to talk to everyone out there, and I'm going to just sort of say, folks, we need 38 to flip to the DFL. We cannot have this clown car of a Republican Party in charge of that Minnesota Senate anymore. They're not caring about the communities. They don't care about their constituents. They only care about their personal agenda, and it's not helping. We can flip 38. This is a very winnable district for the DFL.
Yes, it is.
But we need to have people that are door knockers. We need phone bankers. We need donations. And Justin, obviously, it's a quick and easy drive into the North Metro here to help out in your district.
Absolutely. My wife makes my wife and I make it back and forth every day, so it's nice and easy.
JustinStofferon.com. That's Justin, JUSTIN, Stofferon, StofferAhn.com. I'll link to everything on the social media a little bit later on. Get in touch with Justin. Senate District 38. Help out any way you can, and let's flip this seat. We have a few months here. You can make a plan. This is a weekend trip. Easy enough. Go up there and help out in that district. Justin, thank you very much. I appreciate the time today.
Oh, of course. Thank you so much. And together we'll retire Roger.
That we'd like to do that. Justin Stauferon is once again Senate District 38, the DFL candidate there, Democrat of the Day, number one for today. We'll be back after the break. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Get a head start on this year's Blue State Ball by having dinner with me, Tom Harbin, on Saturday, February 22nd at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. It's your chance to chat with me about all the big political issues in a small, intimate setting. Crooner's is located just north of Minneapolis off Moore Lake and Highway 65 and has plenty of free parking. Tickets are $200 and include a delicious dinner at Crooner's, drinks, and a signed copy of my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting. Who stole your vote and how to get it back. Tickets are very limited for this event, so guarantee your spot now by calling 952-946-8885. Don't miss out on your chance to have dinner with me the night before the Blue State Ball at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. Those tickets will go fast, so reserve now at 952-946-8885. More details at am950radio.com. I look forward to seeing you.
Do yourself a favor and check out the amazing cuisine of eatlocalminnesota.com. More than just a website, eatlocalminnesota.com provides you with the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities. The award-winning Hazel's Northeast combines the feel of a small-town diner with the vibrant nature of its Northeast Minneapolis neighborhood. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, weekend brunch, or dinner, their classically inspired and creatively prepared American comfort food is always made from scratch. Hazel's Northeast at 29th and Johnson in Northeast Minneapolis. EatLocalMinnesota.com. The dedicated staff at Nightingale Restaurant take pride in presenting a thoughtful and delicious approach to food and drink, whether you're visiting for dinner, happy hour, or brunch. Their focus on made-from-scratch meals using sustainable and local ingredients is likely to make Nightingale your go-to spot for inspired food and drinks. Nightingale, Lindale and 26th in Minneapolis.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I speak nationally and internationally on the subjects of entrepreneurship, trades reform, apprenticeship, craftsmanship, and coding science. I've created a rigorous apprenticeship program where I find, train, inspire, and mentor young people in my craft. The result is an ultra-professional crew of craftspeople that cares about their work and your project. We're not like other contractors. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com. That's NickSlavik.com to learn more.
By the way, I did want to mention in the commercial break, you heard Tom Hartman talking about the dinner we have coming up. I have gotten word, the last I checked, and that was early today, there was only five seats left. Five seats left for the dinner with Tom Hartman on Saturday night. Now, reminder, Blue State Ball is sold out. I'm keep saying this for this reason. We already know some people are going to show up at the door, and we don't want to feel bad.
No, my mom forgot to buy tickets, and she's threatening to do that. She's like, okay, you're not going to get in. If you like looking through windows, go ahead.
I'll tell you what, I might have a one for me if we want to get your mom in, all right? We might be able to do that.
No, she needs to learn a lesson.
Okay, well, all right.
I was telling her, they're going fast.
All right. If you want to see Tom while he's in town here, this is your chance. Now, it's at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club Saturday night, coming up here on this Saturday. Dinner, drinks, all of it's included in there. Plus, you get a copy of the book, and you get to have a great conversation with Tom Hartman in a more intimate setting than the Blue State Ball, which is going to be great because you can sit and chat with him about anything you want. I mean, he's just wonderful to communicate with. So if you want to participate in this, once again, there are only five tickets left for this. And this will likely sell out. So if you're thinking about doing it, do not wait any longer. Go get your ticket. Now, if you get your ticket, you have to call the station. You have to call the station, 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885 is the phone number. I do love Roops with the Scoops. Now, in case you don't know, Eric, Aaron Rupar, the writer for Vox, who's been many different things. He's a well-known writer, a very well-known followed person on social media. He used to work at City Pages here, and we used to have him on the air with Roops with the Scoops. And Roops with the Scoops, I just love following him on Twitter because he does this kind of real-time stream of what's going on with Trump. Trump just had his press conference. Trump just said that Mark Zuckerberg came in 3 weeks ago and congratulated him for being number one on Facebook. The last reported meeting between Zuckerberg and Trump happened in October, so that couldn't have taken place. Trump once again suggests that Ivanka Trump personally created 15 million jobs, more than twice the total created during his entire term in office. But she is maybe in China she's created, because that's where all of her patents are. Maybe she's 15 million jobs in China. God, what an absolute national nightmare. So, speaking of national nightmares, let's talk about one of his latest screeds here. Former California Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher confirmed in a new interview that he's now kind of gone from this broke. This is a story about Julian Assange being offered a pardon by Trump to basically fabricate evidence that the Russians didn't hack the DNC, which basically we know they did. I mean, he went to meet with him at the Ecuadorian embassy. And once again, this is not being said because Julian Assange is trying to promote a book. He made this comment in court in London, trying to fight his extradition. He made this argument in court. So under oath, plus the fact that it's pretty easy. Imagine the Ecuadorian embassy is got basically, cameras and a visitor sign in line.
I'm sure there's bugs in the toilet.
I'm sure they are. So my guess would be is that there's this something that is completely and totally on tape someplace, 100%. So after the initial story happened, there was some, oh, no, that never happened. And Dana Rohrabacher then came out and said, well, maybe I said something about it. Now he's got, let me set the record straight. He said in a new three-hour meeting with the Ecuadorian embassy in August of 2017, he told Julian Assange he could get Trump to give him a pardon if he turned over information proving Russia had not been the source of the Democratic National Committee's emails published by WikiLeaks. In a phone interview with Yahoo News, Rohrabacher said his goal during the meeting was to find proof of the widely debunked conspiracy theory that WikiLeaks' real source for the DNC was not Russian intelligence agents. Basically, he was trying to push the Seth Rich, made-up story. Trump offered to pardon Assange if he denied Russia helped leak the Democrats on that. So White House Press Secretary, Stephanie Grisham, immediately denounced the claim about the pardon discussion with Assange as a complete fabrication, adding that the president barely knows Dana Rohrabacher. Oh, you mean the guy that he posed with in campaigns in 2016 all the time? Yeah, hardly knew him at all. And he's never spoken to him on this subject or almost any subject. Rohrabacher said that he not only did a talk of Trump's pardon to take place this meeting, also followed up by calling then White House Chief of Staff John Kelly to discuss the proposal. Oh, I'm sure we'll be subpoenaing all those records before too long. Oh, how many times can you impeach a guy in one term? We are not done. I got another full hour of this. Prepare yourself. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine. The perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Come on, you know it's true. Work is almost bearable when the Stephanie Miller Show is on. AM 950 KTNF, St. Louis Park, Minneapolis, St. Paul, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I'm Mike Moss.
We're just waiting.
I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting here, standing here, talking to you. We're waiting.
President Trump says he will let things play out, but at some time, he says he'll make a determination on whether to get involved in the Roger Stone case. His comments in Las Vegas come just after his longtime friend Stone was sentenced to 40 months in prison for lying to Congress, witness tampering, and obstruction. In another big trial, a jury in the Harvey Weinstein rape trial in New York is in the third day of deliberations. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum is at the courthouse.
No notes or requests from the jury today before they broke for lunch. Yesterday, they were focused on the testimony surrounding the allegations from Annabella Sciorra, the actress who appeared in the TV series The Sopranos. She testified that Harvey Weinstein raped her in the mid-1990s. It was past the statute of limitations and couldn't be prosecuted on its own, but it contributed to the charge of predatory sexual assault.
President Trump has placed an intelligence novice in charge of U.S. intelligence. Correspondent Vivian Salama reports on the appointment of Richard Grenell.
President Trump is deferring a lot of top jobs to people that he trusts, that he knows are loyal to them, that he doesn't feel are going to, say, leak or do anything that would undermine his administration. And so obviously it's a time where the president is quite sensitive about this. And Rick Grenell has been particularly an outspoken advocate for the President Trump's policies overseas.
Grenell has been ambassador to Germany. Acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney told a private gathering in England the U.S. is in desperate need of more immigrants to keep the economy growing. The Washington Post has listened to a recording in which Mulvaney says, "We are running out of people to fuel economic growth." His comments are in conflict with the administration policy. On Wall Street, the Dow down 111. I'm Mike Moss.
Did you ever look at the stains in your coffee cup and then realize that's exactly what happens to your teeth? PowerSwabs is the five-minute solution to get your teeth white without visiting the dentist. This is John Greenhut, the CEO of PowerSwabs. And if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, all it takes is 5 minutes with PowerSwabs. In 5 minutes, you'll see an average of 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. It's clinically proven to whiten natural teeth as well as caps and veneers. The secret is a tooth detergent that was developed by Dr. Martin Ginniger that lifts stains off of your teeth. Best of all, there's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes and you're done. To try PowerSwabs risk-free, call 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969. I guarantee your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free today. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Hey, I guess we found a new name for our show.
Really? What's the new name?
Pilots Progressive Party.
How did you ever come up with that?
Pilots our name and progressive fun is our game.
Well, what's that about?
It's a one-hour news show with progressive guests and information you normally don't hear on the radio.
Well, that's so exciting. I have a few ideas for guests myself.
I know they'll be progressive.
Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. on AM 950.
The Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
February is the month of love. Hey, it's Brett from FYI Politics. And when's the last time you gave your carpet some love and attention? Not only is your carpet one of the biggest investments in your home, but it's also the biggest air filter. So breathe better this month and get 3 rooms zero-res clean starting at only $119. And because love has no limits, zero-res will throw in a free hallway cleaning and will take 10% off your entire bill if you get your air ducts and carpet cleaned together. But you have to mention AM 950 when you call. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMinnesota.com.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, do I really need to say this next line?
How are you going to pay for college again?
Okay. My dad is known as Mr. Minneapolis St. Paul Matt McNeil.
Not an official title.
The Toyota Sienna is the best vehicle for winter driving. Safe on roads and it warms up fast. The Sienna is what my parents feel safe letting me drive in during these Minnesota winters.
When it gets rough on the roads, I'm glad my son is driving the safest vehicle I've ever driven myself, the Toyota Sienna. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
At Better Futures Minnesota, we transform the lives of men and support Minnesota's environment by working towards zero waste. Our approach reaffirms each man's dignity and supports self-sufficiency. Better Futures Minnesota is a work training model. Through our reuse, retail warehouse, and supervised work crews with specialized in residential and commercial building deconstruction, property maintenance, appliance recycling, and janitorial services, we demonstrate ways to employ hard-to-employ men on a pathway to independence. Hire our work crews at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is delighted to offer its spacious facilities for your private function. From weddings, retirement parties, business dinners, or any special occasion, Crooner's combines a dedicated full-service special events team, an award-winning chef, and a beautiful lakeside ambiance to make your event a resounding success. Visit croonersloungemn.com to learn more about their private dining options or call 763-571-9020 to get a quote for your next event today.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Today will be sunny with a high near 14, with wind chill values as low as negative 19. Tonight, a low around 9. Friday, sunny with a high near 36 and the low of 20. Saturday, sunny with a high of 38 and the low of 23. Sunday will be sunny with temperatures in the 30s.
EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Victor's 1959 Cafe, a unique local restaurant offering one-of-a-kind food and atmosphere, focusing on traditional Cuban recipes in a relaxed, casual, and festive Cuban environment. Check them out at 3756 Grand Avenue in South Minneapolis.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Hour two on your Thursday. Good to be with you. Speaking of which, Democrat of the Day coming up here in a little bit, Addie Miller. She's Senate District 47. She'll be joining us to talk about her campaign, another possible pickup seat. And this is, once again, very drivable, people. There's no excuses for us not picking these seats up. We should be knocking on every door in these districts. So we'll talk to her coming up in here in a little bit. Love this headline. Dow falls more than 100 points after suffering a sudden midday sell-off that confused traders. Oh, that's nice to hear. Yeah, you know, head of trading was quoted as saying, WTF!
Experts were quoted as saying, what?
Actually, you know what this is a really bad sign of? That there's smoke and mirrors here. There's a lot of people trying to prop this up. This was kind of one of those things where, you know, some Russian company was probably supposed to, you know, prop up the market for a few hours. You know, someone fell asleep. And next thing you know, we're dropped. All of a sudden, now the blue. Wait, whoa! What the heck happened here? I also heard the story in the news there about the new guy in charge of our national intelligence. This guy, the German ambassador, who, by the way, is still going to be the German ambassador and in charge of all of our intelligence agencies. You should read the reports from the Germans on this guy. The worst ambassador we've ever had. Incompetent beyond incompetent. Just an absolute disgrace. That guy. The ambassador of Germany, who the Germans hate, we're going to let him stay the ambassador, and we're just going to give him the extra task of running every intelligence agency of the United States. Wow. All right. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. How about we look at dumpster fires a little bit closer to home here? Actually, it's not so much a dumpster fire, but it's a tall stack of crushed car fire that we have going on in Becker. Firefighters worked throughout the night to control a two-day-old blaze in the Northern Metal Automobile Recycling Yard in Becker. Authorities said Thursday morning they believe the fire is finally contained. 2 days. Elwin, don't flush the toilet, man! They're trying to put out the fire! I mean, seriously, is that what happens? Like, someone flushes the toilet and the hose for the fire department starts going down?
It only shoots cold water.
It's only cold. It's colder. It's colder now. The fire break is holy. A fire break. We actually had to create a fire break in a
I did not know that was a thing.
Would you chop down the metal trees with... It's a bunch of metal cars, for God's sakes. A fire break is holding its place, and crews continue to monitor the areas that are still burning. They separated debris piles to allow part of the giant stack of junked and crushed cars just to eventually burn out. So technically, this thing could burn for a while still. They're just going to grab some marshmallows and just stay toasty warm. What is visible currently is a considerable amount of steam coming from the debris pile as the areas within the piles burn out. Crews indicate the fire is being maintained and is under control at this point. Consultants are sampling air quality in the area.
Don't worry, it's just steam.
Oh, God, I got news for you. I posted this story last night when we were talking about day two of, you know, Armageddon truck fire up in Becker. I had friends all the way down the 94 corridor down to Maple Grove say, it reeks, man.
Oh, I can imagine.
It reeks. Oh, hey, do you like oil fires and tire fires and upholstery fires? Well, have we got a treat for you. Oh, I can't even comprehend what they've been.
All the best smells.
Oh, God, all the best chemicals. Meantime, residents active in the Becker Community Forum on Facebook are expressing concerns. Oh, good, because that's where we want to go. Let's go on to the online, you know, WhatsApp for the neighborhood. They're expressing concerns about the health effects of smoke exposure, offering thanks to many firefighters. Yes, indeed, the firefighters doing a good job there. Now, and by the way, once again, maybe this is a sign you guys need to upgrade your water supply in Becker. I'm just going to give you an FYI. You need to operate a little bit better there. No buildings in the site were involved. No one's been injured in the fire. Becker's public schools were closed on Thursday, however, because of the heavy smoke. Oh. Okay, all the kids who are vaping, you can sit closer to the windows. Jeez.
They're just building up a natural immunity, you
well,
see?
And we're looking forward to that basketball game tonight between the Hopkins Royals and the Becker Swisher Sweets. The Becker truck fires. Just car fires. Wow. Yeah, glad it's out, guys. Glad this hasn't hurt your image at all. At all. Not at all. Doing great. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Let's talk a little bit about the debate last night. First of all, it was beat up on Bloomberg Day. And let's face it, Bloomberg, okay, part of me was like, whoa, that one's going to leave a mark. Whoa, that one's going to leave a mark. Whoa, that one's. And then it came a point I was like, okay, why did Bloomberg even go on this if he knew he had so many things that they could attack him on? And the first thing that came to my mind is because he knows that no one really cares about these debates in regards to, you know, the general election and down the road. No one really in California. I mean, how many people total watched MSNBC last night? 10 million in a country of 330 million people? That's 0.3%. It's not even 1% of the population. And do you remember the zingers that were at the last debate or the debate before that or the debate before that? No. I mean, we know Amy Klobuchar did okay at the New Hampshire debate, but does anyone remember any of the real hits that she had? Does anyone remember the debate before that? Who was the winner? Who was the loser? Bloomberg can go in there and they can level into him all he likes, but he knows this, is that he's got a money advantage. He'll go on out there. He'll go out and spend the money. And now he knows all the attacks they're going to make on him. And I guarantee you, his team is working out defenses so that the next debate's in South Carolina next week. When that debate happens, you know, if he goes out there, he'll probably be a lot more prepared for it.
But I mean, was he surprised by the attacks they leveled against him? Like 62 sexual harassment allegations?
He didn't seem to be
prepared.
He didn't seem to be bothered. I mean, he kind of sputtered a little bit, but I mean, it's like when you say something about Bernie and Bernie doesn't get up, he doesn't like it, Bernie gets real animated.
Yeah.
And all the rest of them do is like, and Bloomberg's like, yeah, whatever. You know, it was just kind of like.
Yeah, he's kind of annoyed.
He was a little droopy on the side, man. He was. Okay, whatever. You want to say that. And they kept leveling the shots at him. But, you know, the truth is this. The thing which I'm going to find to be hilarious is if it's not Bloomberg, I can't wait for the Huffington Post and all these Democrats to come on out in 6 months and say, how come Michael Bloomberg's not spending more money to help us win? Really? You have that question? Hey, we called you Hitler 1,000 times to your face, but why aren't you giving us $1 billion to help beat Trump now, huh? Why not? Now, Bloomberg aside, and like I said, I don't think Bloomberg's too concerned because he can, you know, he's basically buying the narrative he wants with these ads.
Yeah, and I think the people who are really swayed by ads are not necessarily the people who are watching the, you know, debates.
Like I said, 10 million out of 330 million people.
Yeah.
There's hardly anyone. Most of the people who are watching it are already pretty much. Most of the people who watch debates already know who they're going to vote for and are just seeing how their guy does against or their woman does against the rest of the field. That's it. Warren. God, I don't. Elizabeth Warren, where was that? That was the Elizabeth Warren who started this campaign, who for the last 6 months has been some sort of 1880s school marm who's been kind of, you know, quiet and reserved in the silence. And I get it. I understand Warren fans have a legitimate concern about the fact that she has been sort of ignored by the media, even though she is one of the top contenders in most of these races. But dear God, that is, she went out with she sounded intelligent. She sounded brutal there. You know, she just kept hitting with facts. I mean, Elizabeth Warren clearly won that debate last night. Clearly won that debate. The problem is it too little too late now? Because part of me wants to look at that and say, if you were like this, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. If she was like that two debates ago, three debates ago, you know, I don't know if she'd be nearly having the problems that she is where she's at. Finally, I want to talk about Pete Buttigieg. Now, this is just me. You're dead to me, Mayor. You're dead to me. Don't you dare go after Walter Mondale like that. I'll share a story with you. One of my favorite things that ever happened is I got to meet Walter Mondale about 6 years ago. And Walter Mondale, I go up to the vice president's hand and I said, Mr. Vice President, it's an absolute pleasure to meet you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. He goes, Matt McNeil, I listen to your show. You're great. Oh, my God. I would have made sweet, sweet love to that man right then if I could have gotten away with it. No, just no, seriously, I was so, holy God, he knows who I am. He listens, and he might be, you know, making it up, but still, I'll just go with it. I'll go with it. It was so neat. He ran into a buzzsaw. He ran into a mismanaged Democratic Party in 1984 and a system that was built for Reagan. And people loved Reagan. That was before we realized how horrible he was. Once again, when he left office, what was his approval rating, like 23%? The reality is that Mondale is not someone you mess with. And so when Buttigieg goes to Klobuchar and says, if being a senator from Minnesota is the template for being the president, then why did I not have a President Mondale? I was like, okay, don't be a jerk.
And Buttigieg doesn't really have any position to speak about.
Yeah, before Pete, shut up, okay? Don't you dare mention Walter Mondale. Get his name out of your mouth, for God's sakes. I'm dead serious when I say this. He lost Minnesota badly. Here's the question. If Pete Buttigieg is the nominee, would Minnesota vote for him or would they vote for Trump? Because I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think a lot of people would leave that blank.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that serious, but I mean, I know people didn't like it.
Oh, I know a lot of people didn't like it. And think to yourself, you don't think it's that bad because you don't think Buttigieg is going to win.
That's
but let's
true.
Say if he's a winner, if he's the nominee, will you let that go? The fact that he just dismissed one of the state's greatest politicians, one of the state's greatest statesmen, probably the biggest one that the state's ever produced. I don't know. I thought it was standing back from it for a quick second. It was a good shot on Klobuchar, but at the same time, where you don't expect to ever be able to come into Minnesota and be able to campaign without boos and heckles from that point forward. Let's go to the phones here. Let's run these. Grant is in Prior Lake. Grant, welcome into the show.
Oh, hi, Matt. How are you?
All righty.
Okay, so yesterday I feel like someone gave Elizabeth Warren like a board with a nail in it, and she just hit everyone so hard with it.
She did.
Bernie Sanders was like the only person she missed, and even then it was just because he was barely able to move his head out of the way.
Well, I just do not understand where that Elizabeth Warren's been, because that was similar, Grant, to the Elizabeth Warren that we saw at the beginning of this campaign.
I know. Honestly, I feel like she got caught up in all that, like, civility, party unity stuff that like the centrists have all been pushing?
I don't know if it's necessarily unity and stuff like that. But I will say is this: I think that someone gave her some bad advice and told her not to be herself. Go on out there, be yourself. If that's who you really are, man, that's you're going to do pretty well with that. Let's go to Dave in Hopkins. Dave, thanks for holding. Welcome on into the show.
Hey, I was wondering why the Democratic Party is so darn negative right now. I mean, it's just not going to motivate us. And
well,
now you got all of a sudden you got Obama taking credit for the economy.
Well, Did we know, Dave? Because Obama actually deserves credit for the economy, Dave. Hey, did you know that? He does. And why is he being negative? I don't know. Your president's got his thumb up his backside thinking he's making himself into a finger puppet. Hey, isn't he, Dave? Isn't that great? Hey. Now, actually, I will say this. We mentioned yesterday with Stein the concept of the fact that Bloomberg hasn't been in part of this fighting. And that seems to be resonating before the debate was resonating more because he hadn't been part of these fights. But the reality is that's what a primary is. And by the way, go look at Bob Dole and H.W. Bush. I was watching some footage of those two guys going at it. They're generally not too nice, but hey, if you want to sit there and kind of come at us and act like Obama doesn't, you understand Obama took over such a crap economy from W and it grew. It was the greatest growth rate ever. And most of the economic indicators have actually gone down. Stock market's up, but pretty much every economic indicator is down since Trump took office. And remember when you guys used to get upset about deficits? Funny story. It's so much worse now. But hey, you got your cigarette. Thanks, Chuckles. Julie, hold on. I'll get your call after the break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Minnesota Army National Guard. Aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Northeast Minneapolis is known for its creativity, and you'll know exactly why when you eat at Hazel's Northeast. Their creatively prepared comfort food will have you coming back week after week. Breakfasts like biscuits and gravy, granola pancakes, and brisket hash. For lunch, homemade soup and one of the best Reubens in town. And don't miss the daily risotto or Chef Ali's ever-changing dinner specials. Come on in. Bring the whole family. Hazel's Northeast delivers real good food. Family owned at 29th and Johnson in Minneapolis.
Get a head start on this year's Blue State Ball by having dinner with me, Tom Harbin, on Saturday, February 22nd at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. It's your chance to chat with me about all the big political issues in a small, intimate setting. Crooner's is located just north of Minneapolis off Moore Lake and Highway 65 and has plenty of free parking. Tickets are $200 and include a delicious dinner at Crooner's, drinks, and a signed copy of my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back. Tickets are very limited for this event, so guarantee your spot now by calling 952-946-8885. Don't miss out on your chance to have dinner with me the night before the Blue State Ball at Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club. Those tickets will go fast, so reserve now at 952-946-8885. More details at am950radio.com. I look forward to seeing you.
I'm Rick Unger. You've heard the screamers, you've heard the shouters, the haters, the berators. Well, now it's time to listen to a real conversation, a rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show.
Listen to the Rick Unger Show every weekday from 5 to 7 p.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Stream at am950radio.com or search KTNF on the TuneIn app.
Moe's Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1971, providing a full spectrum of tax preparation and associated services. Think about it. Why would you take your most important financial information to a franchise operation with a cheap basic package that goes up dramatically once you're in the door? You can find out all you need to know about Moe's by visiting www.moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S-Tax.com. Or call them at 612-721-2026. Don't be a blockhead. Go to the professionals at Moe's Tax Service.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. You know, that snarkiness that you get, that's just, yeah. That's all they've got. Yeah. And, you know, it's not just that guy that called in. How about we look at Kurt Dowd? Because this is just too funny. Now, mind you, it should be noted, the media still has not reported the truth that Matt Grossel was physically touching the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey, and before Jacob Frey ever put his hand on his shoulder. So for Grossel to complain about anyone touching him, he's a whiny little bitch. But there was another point here which has got caught out, and I want to give credit to the to Bluestem Prairie for bringing this up. Actually, I'll get to that in a second. I want to give Julie's back with us. Julie in Minneapolis, welcome on in. Thanks for holding. I do appreciate it.
Yeah, just a couple of quick comments. You know, the reason Mondale got destroyed in the 1980 election is that in the late 70s, the Supreme Court basically made it okay to buy politicians. There were two decisions in the late 70s, and the money just poured in, you know, and that's what crushed Mondale. Did I get the year right? Was it? No.
84.
Was it 80 or?
84.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the reason he got destroyed in 84. The other quick thing I want to say is I always wanted to talk to Mr. Mondale. I never had the chance, but he was right when he said that Nixon, you know, had his enemies list, and he was after Hubert Humphrey to destroy him on his tax returns, because my dad was an IRS agent, and his boss asked my dad to go after Humphrey and the other agents in the room, and they refused, and so the boss had to go after him. So I know from personal experience my dad never would have lied to me, and I know that Nixon did try to destroy Humphrey. Thank you.
Thanks, Julie. I appreciate the phone call, 952-946-6205. All right, let me get back to the Kurt Dowd story here. Mankato Free Press actually calls him out because there's another thing that happened that a lot of people haven't reported on. Fox 9, the reporter, asked an important follow-up question in the Minnesota House Minority Leader, Kurt Dowd, while the Zimmerman area Republican was place baiting on his crime. The editors of the Mankato Free Press basically are calling out Dowd on this. Andy Mannix from Star Tribune was the first one to point it out, at least on his Twitter feed. Dowd accused this is the Fox 9 reporter asked the question. Dowd accused Frey and St. Paul Mayor Melvin Carter of spending too much money on bike lanes and bans on plastic straws and plastic bags at the expense of police. When he was pressed by the Fox 9 reporter, Dowd acknowledged that's not how state aid works. This is the exact quote from Kurt Dowd. No, but it makes a good soundbite for the news tonight. So basically, he admits, I'm lying. We know it's not there, but I guarantee you stupid Republicans will buy it hook, line, and sinker. Hey, they're buying their straws. And that's, you know, it's the truth. I mean, moron Republicans will buy that. Basically, Fox 9's Theo Keith, brought this down, accused Minneapolis mayor and St. Paul mayor of spending too much money on bike lanes and bans on plastic straws. Frey jumped in the minority leader after that soundbite comment, accusing him of playing politics without reaching out to Minneapolis St. Paul officials. I just stated just a moment ago by Representative Dowd that he was looking for a soundbite to the media. I think that's exactly the case. The disagreement then spilled out into the back lobby where Matt Grossel then groped the mayor of Minneapolis. Well, poked. How about I say pokey? That's right. City Pages' Mike Mullen sums up the irony of the Republican caucus, including Grossel, in discussion because, funny story, his boozy night at Regents Hospital, what a delight. But let's go back to the Mankato Free Press. Legislative kickoff press conference in the Minnesota GOP took aim at big cities and public safety. The Minnesota Republican Party feels it's good to continue playing the big city bad, small town good narrative. Minnesotans got a good dose of it Monday. House Republicans and the minority had a press conference highlighting crime in the big cities. Minority Leader Kirk Dowd took a swing at the city, like more bike lanes and plastic broadbands, while the big cities are doing nothing to protect those outstate folks who are afraid to go to a Twins game at night. The framing of the issues surrounded issues of gangs, drugs, and enforcement flares, affairs of light rail trains. Knowing the bias of white thought in these issues, the House GOP had to show racist undertones. This is Mankato Free Press bringing this up. Dowd continued his assault in the big cities with false statements that Twin Cities mayors were doing nothing to hire more officers. Both have done so, just not at levels police have demanded. So, you know, it's all lies. And that's all these people are in for, is all lies. Let's go to Mike in Columbia Heights. He wanted to chime in on Kurt Dowd. Welcome on in, Mike.
Hi, Matt. I listened to you last Monday or whatever it was when Dowd got up, made a fool of himself. But I think, keeping in mind that the Trump organization and the Republican Party owes the city of Minneapolis about $350,000 for Trump's last escapade.
$550,000, thank you.
Oh, $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why didn't Fry stand up and say, maybe if you guys would pay us off for your president coming and campaigning here, maybe we'd have more money to cover the,
wow,
the rail stations and stuff. But the whole point of this thing he's pushing now is to get it on statute that the cities have to pick up the cost of the protection for the World Series, the Super Bowl, Trump's little trips to town. It's real nefarious and it's real underhanded. He's just trying to dump it so the Republican Party doesn't have to pay for Trump's campaign trips to town this year.
Well, and Mike, let's won't somebody think about the wealthy white people Trump is going to come into their luxury suites at the Vikings game? Won't somebody think about that? Choking myself up. Those poor white suburbanites who are terrified of minorities and the poors. Can't we get them a police escort into town? No. Suck it up. It's the city. Grow a pair. Let's go to Mark and Fridley, shall we? Mark wanted to chime in on Trump. Welcome on in, Mark.
Hi, guys. And I look forward to seeing everybody at the Blue State Ball, including Alan Miller. And I just want to give you a heads up on Pete Buttigieg. His national campaign director is a former executive of both Google and Goldman Sachs. So don't fall for Pinocchio Pete. But two things. I want to talk about the real state of the economy and a comment that Bernie Sanders made last night.
Well, and epic. Mark, I got to let you know, I got a Democrat of the Day coming up here, so you got about 1 minute at most. So go right ahead.
Okay. First, the economy, it's the economy stupid. And the economy is stupid because for the past 40 years, the 1% and the 2%, there was just a recent study that was conducted that said that one in three American workers runs out of money before payday. And the results of this study was that basically 30%, whether you make less than $15,000 a month or $200,000 a month, 30% of those people don't have enough money at the end of the week. And then Bernie Sanders made a comment last night about Medicare. And let's just get this out. Yale did a peer-reviewed academic study with Lancet and made the determination that a single-payer universal health care system would save 68,000 lives a year.
Well, and Mark, what I'm going to do, I'm going to have to step in on you just because I got a Democrat of the Day. I got to get them in. If you go watch John Oliver's Last Week Tonight on Medicare for All, that is one of the greatest takedowns, and he points to the fact that, you know, a universal health care, you know, a lot of people scream it's bad. It's probably not going to be bad, and so it would be there. We're going to take a break. When we come on back, we're going to talk to Addie Miller. She's running Senate District 47, which is West Metro. We'll talk to her when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years' experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Join us for New Beginnings, Saturday mornings at 11, brought to you in part by Vision Loss Resources.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for more than 25 years. My company has been awarded more than 5 national awards for craftsmanship. You won't find somebody who loves their job more than me. I've devoted my life to my family, my craft, my business, and to the people who trust me with their projects. And I'm happier for doing it. Visit NICKSLAVIK.com to learn more.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their 2 convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
If you're someone that counts on AM 950 to bring you the latest in progressive politics, news, and talk, remember, we can't do it alone. Support our many great advertisers and let them know you heard about their business on AM 950. If you don't know who to talk to, simply write AM 950 on your receipt. AM 950 is supported by small, local businesses, so you're not only helping us and those businesses, but our local economy as well. For a complete list of our sponsors, log on to am950radio.com.
Indeed, Victor's 1959 Cafe, fantastic food. If you're looking for some great Cuban food, some with a little spice, a little flavor for you, try them out. Lunch, dinner there, just magnificent. And you know I'm a big fan of the breakfast in town, so stop on by. Victor's 1959 Cafe, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. 952-946-6205. Our Democrat of the day for right now is Addie Miller. She is running for Senate District 47, which is the West Metro, Watertown. I believe Chanhassen's in there as well. She's joining us right now to talk about her campaign to pick up that seat for the DFL. Hey, Addie, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much. I know you're very busy. You're working over at the state capitol, so I appreciate the time today for you to stop on by and talk with us.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity.
Hey, so, Addie, why don't we start off really quick with who exactly is Addie Miller?
Yeah, great. So I was born and raised in the district in Carver County. Grew up there and ended up leaving for college, coming back here for law school, and have kind of been there ever since. So former horse trainer, worked for a judge when I was in law school and got back into law and politics, worked on a campaign for a couple years, and then now I'm here. So working as a committee administrator at the House of Representatives and running for office.
You're looking at a seat here, and it's interesting because part of me looks at the fact that Scott Jensen, who is leaving, he's a Republican that holds that seat right now. I think the reason why he's leaving is because I think he's so dang upset with the Republicans himself over what happened with that Emergency Insulin Act. It's a district that has been Republican, but this is a district that seems to like more moderate and some DFL issues. I mean, especially when you talk about healthcare. So what prompted you? You say to yourself, you know what, we can pick up this seat for the DFL.
Right, exactly. And I keep saying to everybody, you know, Carver County does not belong to a political party. It belongs to the people that live there. And my community, my neighbors, my family, we're all really rational people. We just want the best for our community and for each other. And I'm glad you brought up healthcare. That's actually the reason that I'm running. My mom suffers from some autoimmune disorders, and her health care bill per month is about $20,000 for her treatment. And I was looking at that and thinking, you know, who's doing anything about this? Someone's got to do something about it. So I decided I was going to be the one to do something. Kept looking around at my community, and there's more and more things that we need help with that just aren't getting the attention that they need because of this partisan bickering. And I think, not to speak for Senator Jensen, but that may be part of the reason he's getting out of it, and that's exactly the reason why I want to get into it.
You know, that's a great point. I think if you're a Republican, you can't care about health care. If you're a Democrat, you need to care about health care. You know, your individual situation here, I mean, the thing which is a problem with conservative health care is this mentality that the option is not a common sense, you know, an Affordable Care Act or an expansion of Medicaid, Medicare, or whether if you're a person that likes, you know, health care for all with a Medicaid buy-in, or a single payer system. The reality is that they look at someone like you because your curse is you love your family, for goodness sakes, and that right. You're somehow failing because you're complaining about $20,000 a month in health care costs and wondering how you're going to pay the bills. And I've always said the same thing. Health care in the United States is the best in the world. It's not about the quality. It's about the accessibility.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. And it doesn't – I think most of us in Carver County can agree that we need to get to a place where it's better. And there's a million different ways to do that. But we need someone that's going to get in there, figure out the best way, the way that makes the most sense to get to where it's accessible to more people, it's affordable to most people, where we're not, you know, having to choose between our grocery bills and our prescription drug care bills. And however we get there, we got to get there and we got to do it soon. And the insulin bill, I think it's going to be up for debate here again shortly at the Capitol. And if that doesn't get done, I mean, we're facing crisis levels at this point. So we've got to get in there and get something done quickly.
Well, I'd say specifically with that insulin bill, I mean, we've already had someone who died who had been helped by that bill. And so, I think, crisis is exactly where we're at. But, heaven forbid the Republicans concern themselves with the people as opposed to the donations they can get from the pharma industry. And which is once again, when we look at this healthcare issue, this is something that every single day in this country, farmers, suburbanites, people who have money are having to declare bankruptcy because, once again, their crime is they care to love their family member who is sick. And that's not a system that's working.
Exactly, exactly. And, that translates into other things on my platform as well. We're all just trying to do the best thing for our families. And part of that is healthcare, yes, and part of it is mental health, and part of it is fully funding our public education system. So we're not having our school boards going around begging for money. I mean, there's so many things that we're all trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, how do we get there? And who's the right person to do it? So I'm in the race. I'm the only one in the race currently who actually grew up and is from the district. So I think I have a unique ability to speak, for all of us on issues like healthcare, mental health, education, whatever it may be.
Well, and your district is unique in the sense being that you have, I believe Chanhassen is in there. You're getting out towards Victoria as well, which is really suburbanite. I mean, it really is. I remember when it wasn't, when we used to go out to the Arboretum and it felt you were going out to the farm. Now it's pretty much built up all the way out there. Waconia is getting closer to the metro area. Watertown's getting closer to the metro area. I'm not saying they're in there, but you definitely the western part of your district, very ag-centric, the ag industry, then the ag issues are a priority there. But you cannot deny the fact that you've got, your Twin Cities metro area is in this district. It presents an interesting challenge for whoever's there because that – I think when you talk about Republicans, the tendency has been to basically only concern themselves with where the donations are to campaigns, not as an overall comprehensive plan.
I have kind of a unique upbringing in that I was, raised on a farm. I was a professional horse trainer for years, ran a small business training horses. And then, went and got back into law and politics. So I can kind of speak to both areas, and everybody deserves a seat at the table. And this kind of rural-urban divide is a myth in my district. So yes, we have, the family farms that have been passed down for generations, and they're so proud to continue to be there, and I'm so proud to know those folks. And then we have the young kind of progressive families that have left the cities to move out to Carver County and settle down there because our school system is so great and it's so beautiful. I mean, I'm a little biased. I love my county, but we kind of have the best of all worlds, and I'm fortunate to be able to speak to all of those worlds.
And you should. My goodness. I go out there every year. We go out to Waconia to do apple picking. We always do fall drives out there. That is a gorgeous part of the state. And it truly is lovely.
Really is.
And I've seen some of the horse farms out there. I mean, you bring a lot to the table on this. Let's talk about another issue which I think a lot of people in the metro area don't realize is how close this issue is to the city's broadband. We've talked for years here about the fact that the Republicans have failed to bring in a broadband across the state. We need to have this to develop in these outstate communities. You know, we of course, you know, the eastern part of your district, there's obviously a lot of growth, a lot of development there. But you've got the western part of your district where broadband is desperately needed here. And the expansion is not happening because private industry is just not going to go out and lay that the cable that they need to do to get that done. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit about that, because desperately, I mean, yours is a prime district of how this is actually a far closer to the metro area problem than I think most people realize.
Exactly. And it's something that I've noticed that the Capitol does have partisan support and bicameral support. It's not so much of a vital issue that it's garnering a lot of attention. So it kind of flies under the radar, but it is something that most people can agree on who have experienced that. I unfortunately have experienced that myself when I was working at a hunting dog training facility. Mm-hmm. There was 8 businesses on this road, this very rural road. And there were days at a time where our internet would go down and we didn't have phones or internet, email services, nothing. So we could not function as a business. And the company that was in charge of that didn't really see the urgency in which we needed to fix that problem. And we can't rely on those private solutions to such a...
Oh, Addie, you there? Did we lose Addie there? Okay, we tell you what. I'll let you see if you can get her back up here. Really,
sure.
You know, just see if she's there. We can grab her here really quick because, you know, what she's talking about. I mean, you just heard what exactly the situation is out there. This is not out in Pipestone. This is not up in Thief River Falls. This is just on the west side of the metro area. And people want to build out there. People want to live out there. That they don't want to get away from the district. They don't want to get away from the cities. And just they can't get out there because there is that problem, that there is that divide, because they can't get the investment that they need to get out there to help do that. So I can buy that 100%. We got her back. Addie Miller is once again joining us right now, the candidate for Senate District 47. You're in the state capitol. I'm amazed you can get a signal out of that building.
It is tough. So sorry about that.
No problem.
We were on the broadband question.
Yes.
So.
Do you think that there would be enough support to get a statewide broadband put through if we got enough Democrats in the Senate?
I absolutely do. Absolutely. And of course, the funding is always the issue for everything that you bring up at the Capitol. So if we can nail that down, we can get it done. I mean, there is bipartisan, bicameral support for it now. I don't see why that would change, you know, in the next couple of years. It's something that small businesses in rural areas so desperately need, and that's something that our party really cares about. So no reason we can't get that done.
You are also for the legalization of recreational marijuana. I agree with you on this. I think we've had enough states now to prove that this is not something that we're going to drive off a cliff, that this is something that it actually can be a moneymaker for a state. And if it's done right, it's basically, you know, it's very easy to see. I don't want to see Minnesota be like Sunday liquor sales. We're the last state to the table here. And what, you know, do you feel as if we can get enough of, you know, the prudish politicians that have been against this issue on the table and really pass a bill, which pretty much every state in the union is already starting to consider at this point?
You know, I'm really proud of the work that Majority Leader Winkler has been able to do in the House this year, getting these working groups together. They've been really intentional in getting all kinds of voices to the table, from, you know, public safety officers, the police force, education minds, healthcare professionals, to really get all the pieces together so we can make it something that people can get behind. And there's certainly a lot of concerns about it, and they're understandable, but as long as we can address those intentionally, as Majority Leader Winkler has been doing, I see no reason why we can't continue to push that. We've got some great examples, as you said, across the nation of what to do and what not to do, and I think we can build off of that. So We're good like that.
Addie, I will say this. I'm going to bring this up. I do not have much hair left. Looking at your campaign webpage, your hair is phenomenal. How long does
it take
to get those flames on it? That's great.
Thank you so much. It's I didn't intend for it to be a branding thing, but it's turned into that, so I'm not going to shy away from it. I've got a really, really wonderful stylist in Minneapolis that we, you know, every 8 weeks we get it done, and she's She's a genius. She's a wizard. So
I tell her if she can give me hair back, I'd be all for that. Yeah. It'd look great. This is not a district that is very far away. It is just, once again, Chanhassen, Western Metro. We door knock on every house in that district. We phone bank. We donate. We'll help get Addie into the Minnesota Senate. And once again, this is one of those seats. We have the chance to flip this to a DFL seat. That's what we have to do to get common sense back in the Senate. So if you want to help out Addie Miller, it's addie4mn.com, correct?
Yes, and that's I-E, and then 4 is spelled out.
Yes, addie4mn.com. Addie Miller, Senate District 47, West Metro. People, this is not a far... I'm not sending you up to Moorhead, for goodness sakes. This is just on the west side. And we have plenty of months here that you can take some time and go help flip that seat. Addie Miller, I'll make sure I link to everything on social media a little bit later on. Addie, all my best here. Let's hope we can get you into St. Paul here starting in 2021.
Thank you so much, and I will promise anyone that comes out to volunteer for me, you can hang out at my campaign office, and we have a campaign mini donkey that you can hang out with. So that's my promise to anyone who comes out to help.
You got a mini donkey?
Oh, yeah. We got everything.
I'll be over there. We're done at 4. I'll be over there.
Perfect. Sounds great. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate this.
My pleasure. Thank you very much for the time. Addie Miller, Democrat of the Day, Minnesota Senate District 47. We'll take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM 950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM 950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Mini donkey, man.
You know, when she was saying mini, I was thinking like mini fridge, mini donuts.
Like, well, mini fridge, no, had mini donkey. If mini fridge had me thinking, about, oh, yeah, go over there.
No, they all sounded donkey. Good.
Oh, mini donkey. How cool is that? Get ready for your photos. That is so slick. Addie Miller, once again, Democrat of the Day. Gary's in Minneapolis. Let's get Gary Bear on in here before I get to my final topic. Hey, Gary.
Yeah, if they ain't too far out to go, I'd like to help her. But are we in trouble up in the Bemidji area, north? I don't know. We got to get that state senate to get our state moving. But I called to say something about Trump. You know, Trump was bragging how he appointed a guy with no experience and intelligence. Don't know what's going on. Don't know enough to call the rain like Trump himself. But he brags a lot how he's a loyalist. I'd like to ask him, they should interview him and ask him, loyal to the U.S. Constitution, our country, or loyal to Putin's Russia?
Yes, Gary. Okay. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate the phone call, 952-946-6205. It's, by the way, it's not in Bemidji. It's just out on the west side, dude. It's Chanhassen. It's Victoria, Watertown, Norwood, Young America, that direction. Go there. Waconia. And by the way, Deb Zeller, who's the artist, she has a shop down in downtown Hopkins. She helps run that winery out there. Nice winery. Lovely winery out there in Waconia. So stop on by for that. Door knock. Door knock at the winery. Wait a second here. I might be onto something here. I might be onto an idea. Anyway, before we go, let me get to this. From City Pages, earlier this year, Marshall Middle School in southwestern Minnesota put up a small cultural display in the cafeteria. I think we all know where this is going.
Good start.
Jesus. It included a few flags from nations around the world, as well as a rainbow pride flag. On Tuesday night, a large crowd of tense community members crammed in the school board chambers to give their 2 cents to the public a 4-minute display. Resident after resident took to the mic and said they had a problem with the flag appearing in a public school, a rainbow. How dare a rainbow ever appear? You know, I want to tell the people of Marshall, you know when it rains and a rainbow shows up? That's God going, you're fabulous! How dare he? You are fabulous, by the way.
They might never see rainbows because they melt in the rain.
No, the cakes melt in the rain. No, never mind. It's never mind. Many quoted scripture claiming being gay or trans went against God's preordained purposes and order. Funny story. Jesus never condemned gay people. Never did. You're Christian, right? Funny story. The rainbow flag might confuse or confuse.
All those bright colors.
Confuse the kids with a rainbow flag. Demoralize students who felt the same way. Some brought up the conversion therapy, the dumb practice of trying to turn a GLBTQ person straight or trans person. Some were just generally upset. What's next? Curriculum teaching this lifestyle in the classrooms? That's right. That's what they're going to do. They're going to just drop trowel. Your child is going to go into a classroom, and they're going to oil them up and loom them on up and check them on in there and let things happen. Or you can calm your bigoted asses down, Marshall. Jesus, you ignorant morons. God. This is a second meeting. What are you going to do again this Tuesday? I'm going to go scream at the rainbow flag. Second meeting in a row, the district turned out for a massive debate on the pride flag. Despite the strong feelings present, there seemed to be some disagreement in the room about what queerness actually is. Okay, God, they're here to help answer it, huh? More than a few residents speaking out against the flag referred to it as a lifestyle or belief. And then there's a guy who cryptically claimed the lifespan of a homosexual is around 42 years.
It's basic science.
In the words of Paul Lynn, isn't that fabulous? One eighth grader Marshall Middle School student said he'd circulated a petition against the pride flag. I don't. Just because you're raising your kid to be stupid, don't inflict him on us. And I'm sorry. Matt, that's a kid. Well, that a kid's being something stupid. And, you know, you think that that wasn't taught at home? He said that they put up don't tread on me flags and stuff like that, and they were taken down, so he feels as if he's being violated. If that young boy accurately described what happened to him, some teacher in your school district violated his constitutional rights unequivocally, said Minneapolis attorney Bill Mormon to the crowd. Apparently, they had retained him for a possible lawsuit. They're going to sue their own school district for a rainbow flag. God. Seriously. My farm's being foreclosed, but you know what I'm angry about today? I don't know what. We're back just 1 hour tomorrow. Have a good one. Till tomorrow. See ya.